Our scripture reading for this Lord's Day comes to us from the Gospel according to Mark. This is the lectionary gospel reading for this Sunday, and I am sharing with you Mark chapter 8, verses 27 through 38. As I read this passage, I invite you to listen for the word of God to you. Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi, and on the way he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they answered, "John the Baptist, and others Elijah, and still others one of the prophets." He asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." And he sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If anyone wants to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." May God bless this reading of his holy word to us today. Please be seated. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, this past week marked a really momentous anniversary. I hope you took note of it. It was the 50th anniversary of the Mr. Rogers Neighborhood TV show. Wow. I've always had such a great deal of respect for Mr. Rogers. He was, at one time, an ordained Presbyterian minister. Maybe you know that. Important. He also would, you know, have this routine in the beginning of his program where, as you remember, he would open the door, take off his coat or his jacket, open the closet, and select one of the wonderful, lovely cardigans to put on. I hope you know that his mom knit every single one of those cardigans. Wow, cool. He also always spoke with dignity and respect to children. He always valued them as true members of the human family. He never, ever wanted anyone to disregard them, to put them aside, to say, oh, they don't know anything. The wisdom of the children were very much in his mind all the time he was doing Mr. Rogers' neighborhood TV show. He established that gentle, that steady rapport with young and old alike on that very first show 50 years ago, February 19th, 1968, you know? And I don't know if you know this, but one of the very first things he did was, as you might know, he would walk in, take off his good shoes, and put on his tennis shoes. And he started that on that show. And on that show, he actually talked about tying shoes. And he said to the children, how are you doing with your tying? It took me a long time to learn how to make that and that into a bow, but I kept practicing and practicing and practicing and finally learned quickly. Maybe you, like me, can remember learning to tie your shoes. Anyone remember learning to tie shoes? A few of you? Yeah. I remember thinking, oh, this is the most complicated thing in the whole world I have done yet to date. I truly do. This is no lie. And I was taught carefully, step by step by step, you do this and you do that, and then it becomes a bow. And at first it was such a mysterious, challenging thing. That bow just seemed to happen like magic. I practiced. And it was such a challenge for young minds, especially back in the day when, you know, those easy-peasy Velcro tabs, they were only a figment in people's imagination. Once you learn, though, to tie your shoes all by yourself, what joy there was. You could look down and say, I did it. I got this. My shoes aren't going to fall off. And you just kind of knew in your heart of hearts, back in my day, Mr. Rogers would have been really, really proud. Well, friends, let's be real about one thing. We are all beginners when it comes to figuring out how to faithfully live in this life, what it means to be a faithful follower of the way of Jesus. And it's like we are simply on this big learning curve in learning to tie our shoes. Shoes made for following the way of Jesus. That's their purpose. And I don't say this in any put-down kind of way. You know, far from it. Far from it. Why are we beginners? Because the call to discipleship is so big, so grand, so comprehensive, we can never, ever, ever discover the breadth of it or the length of it. It is that big. Big stuff. Big stuff. We try to take things step by step, you know, and we try to think for ourselves that, oh, maybe we're getting a handle on it now, and maybe we're doing what we're supposed to do so as to one day we can look down with joy and say, I got this, I got this. Those shoes that are made for walking in the way Jesus says we are to walk are going to stay on my feet after all. I don't know. I don't feel like I'm there yet. Truly, truly, I don't. But let me give myself, because we're always, as preachers, preaching to ourselves, let me give you this big reassurance. If we feel we are still sort of like at the Mr. Rogers level of figuring it all out, and if sometimes we even come to church wondering, I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do to exactly apply this and this and this to my own life, or maybe how should I sort through the big challenges I see out there and who God is calling me to be and do. And if we have that overwhelmed feeling, If we have that, it is not anything to be ashamed of whatsoever. Not anything to be embarrassed by whatsoever. Because what we are acknowledging is this. A, we are not in denial about the breadth and scope of discipleship. And B, this is just as important. We are working at showing up. We are working at showing up. And we are working at not just giving lip service to what we are supposed to be doing. I don't know if you by chance remember this wonderful quote. It's really from Maya Angelou. She was given in 2011 the Presidential Freedom Award. And in an interview about that, she said this. I am always amazed when people walk up to me and say, I'm Christian. I think, already? You already got it? I think that's how we are really invited to absorb our gospel reading for this morning from Mark, and with open hearts, just bring it into our lives and think about what Jesus is saying to us. Jesus asks, who do people say that I am? Elijah, one of the prophets, he gets a response. And then he asks Peter, he kind of brings it down home to Peter, and he says, but who do you say that I am? It doesn't matter what the people out there say that I am. Who do you say that I am? And Peter says, well, the Messiah, yeah. And through these questions, he is bringing it even further down to us. He is saying to you and to me, who do you say that I am? That's the point. That's the point of this passage. But beware, right? This question, Jesus doesn't intend for it having just this quick knee-jerk response or even a few minutes of thoughtfulness. Beware. Because such a challenging question doesn't ask for just a statement of belief from us. It really doesn't. Why then would Jesus go through all this stuff about the Son of Man has come to suffer and die, and that is your role, to lose your life so that you can find it? Why? That's not a statement of belief description at all. That's a lives in action description. That's not just, I'm going to do some thoughts and prayers description. That's a lives in action description. This isn't 1, 2, 3, snap your fingers and you've got it. Through the living of our days, from cradle to grave, we are answering Jesus' question, who do you say that I am? From cradle to grave, through the living of our days, we are trying to figure out how to lose our lives so that we can find them. We pray that we are progressing. We're trying to get there. We hope that we're getting better tying those laces that will keep our souls up against the most important roads that we need to walk. And you can make sure that I meant S-O-L-E-S and S-O-U-L-S. But let's be on guard. Let's be on guard that we can never take for granted, ever, that we have made it. Who hasn't seen those discipleship shoes just fly off? When we least expect that to happen, when we've been confronted by a person who we maybe have a hard time with, and we find ourselves just sort of flying off in reactivity and in anger, and we think, There I did it again. Or maybe we find ourselves judging someone else, and later on we realize, oh, that must have come from something deep inside of me I'm not even aware of at an unconscious level. And you finally realize, I think it was the skin color that got to me. Honest here. And what if once in a while that we feel like, oh, all that resentment and anger or frustration we've been holding for the last only 20 years has gotten the best of us? I mean, discipleship shoes, they fly off at a moment's notice. Lord have mercy, my southern grandmother, who was from Alabama, would say to them. Who hasn't thought to themselves, okay, it's time to start anew, to start fresh. Let me learn to tie on those shoes of discipleship once again. And that's what Lent is all about. It gives us that time of introspection so that we can realize starting again is okay. We have the grace to keep going. A teacher once said to her young student, Sally, can you spell water for me? Yes, Sally said, all excited. She said, H-I-J-K-L-M-N-O. The teacher said, well, Sally, that doesn't spell water. And she says, yes, it does. It's all the letters from H-2-O. You know, discipleship, it's just all the letters in there, all the letters of the alphabet and then some. It's realizing it isn't something so simple that you can say a few consonants, do a few acts of kindness, and you're done. Whenever we come against such big words of Jesus, I find myself always turning to the wonderful perspective that Bob Morris wrote about in his book, Provocative Grace. He's a retired Episcopal priest. He said this, Jesus' sayings are not rules to live up to, but challenges to live into. With time, with patience, with the gradual day-by-day allowing of the softening of our hearts through God's spiritual formation of us, we live into the kind of love Jesus is talking about, a love which has no boundaries. We are merely apprentices on the job, and Jesus hands that job to us, and we are learning from the master, growing in the presence of the master, picking up the right tools at the right time, because the master says that tool will give us the best results. That is what we are about. We're about apprentices. All are we fully formed? No. Many times we feel like we don't make the grade. And again, that is what grace and forgiveness are all about. But if we're really showing up, and if we are looking at what is asked of us, and if we feel like we are growing and developing and pushing at our own understanding as it comes up against Jesus' wisdom, you know, we've moved a little further down the path. Those shoes are staying on a little bit better. I know I've shared this with you before, but I couldn't help myself this morning. I think this is just so wonderful. A noted astronomer, right, was sitting on an airplane, in an airplane next to a bishop in a church. And in the course of conversation, the astronomer said, I never had much interest in theology, you know. My religion can be summed up in do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Okay. The bishop responded, well, I've had little time for astronomy. My view is summed up by twinkle, twinkle, little star. The demands of discipleship are big. The longer I'm in the ministry, the more I struggle with how big. The longer I think about the cross, the more I struggle with how big. But I can also tell you that this is certainly true for me. Maybe it's true for you. The high demand of commitment and the high demand it takes to figure it all out or just get even going on that path and trying to take anything from a theoretical, hypothetical point of view to applying it directly to my own personal life. I mean, that's big, but things that are of value are big things. Things that don't have much value are small things, right? Who would respect a teacher that had all this knowledge and wealth of wisdom to offer and could lead a class in fantastic ways, but then on the first day of the class, the teacher said, "Do as much as you want when you take this course. Take it easy. I'm not asking you to give it all, but only what you feel like you can. You know, just kind of come once in a while. The rest you'll just have to deal with, but that's just fine. That's just fine. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter at all." All right. This high demand for discipleship is because Jesus wants us to know that God cares for us. If God didn't care about us, it wouldn't matter. It wouldn't matter a hill of beans, another grandma from Alabama saying. God loves us so much. He wants us to know the rewards of abundant life, and not just for ourselves, but for others as well. Thanks be to God for God's word to us today. Amen. Oh God, so many times it is so hard to figure it out. But constantly you ask so much of us. And you ask so much of us out of love. And you give us the strength and the guidance and you help us learn the wise path. And for that we are grateful. Be with us in these living of our days. May we truly grow and develop and see ourselves as apprentices, learning what we can from the Master. This we ask in Christ's name. Amen.